Amen. Thank you, Matt and worship team. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 22 this morning, if you will. We started last week kind of a little mini-series in Luke called The Betrayal and the Last Meal. This is the second sermon in that little series about the betrayal of Christ and the last meal that he has with his disciples. And so we're going to dive a little deeper. We're actually going to have the Lord's Supper together today. If you're not comfortable with that, there's no problem with that. Just pass it on, okay? But that's what we're going to do today. First time we've done it in a while. But here's what I want you to watch. And I'll help you with some of this, but really watch for all the symbolism in this passage. There's a lot of symbolism in this passage, and so kind of pay attention to that this morning, if you will. Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 13. The Bible says, "And they left and found everything just as Jesus had told them." In other words, Jesus had told Peter and John, "I want you to go into the city. I want you to look for the man carrying water. And when you see the man carrying water, follow him to his house, and he will show you the room that we will celebrate the Passover Supper together in, okay? And when you get to that room, I want you to make preparations because myself and the rest of my followers will be heading there shortly, and I want you to get everything prepared and everything ready for us to celebrate the Passover together." And so the Bible says that Peter and John left, found everything just as Jesus had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, in other words, when the hour had come to celebrate the Passover, Jesus reclined at the table and the apostles with him, and he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer." And you'll see why he says here, "I eagerly desire to eat this with you." You're going to see why here in a few minutes as we dive a little bit deeper into this and unpack it. He says, "For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." And when he had broken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Circle those two words, "new covenant," there in verse 20, because that's going to be important to us as we begin to unpack this passage of Scripture. So Peter and John found the room that Jesus had told them to find, and they arranged for the Passover meal. And in the middle of the day, on the 14th of Nisan, which is called the Day of Preparation, in the middle of that day, which on our calendar would be about March 15th, but Nisan is the first month of the Jewish calendar. So in the middle of that day, on what would be for us January 14th, for them Nisan 14th, is when all work would cease and every family would have a representative take their lamb to the temple to be sacrificed. And then the family representative would kill the lamb in the temple court to consecrate the lamb, to make the lamb holy, meaning it's separated from anything ungodly, so that that lamb could serve as the substitute for that family's sin. And the lamb's blood would be drained into a basin held by the priest, who would then take the blood and splash the blood of the lamb on the base of the altar for the atonement of sin. Symbolizing reconciliation with God from sin. Next, the kidneys and the liver would be burned on the altar as a peace offering, symbolizing or signifying the peaceful relationship between God and the representative's family. And then after the sacrifice, the lamb would be taken home to be cooked or to be roasted for the Passover meal. And the family representative, when he got home, would take some of the blood and he would smear it over the doorpost and over the lintel, meaning the framework above the door of the house, once again symbolizing God's protection over his people. And when Jesus and the apostles arrived at the house that had been prepared for them, Jesus took his place at the table. There was a place of honor. He took that place at the table, and then he lit a lamp. And when he lit the lamp, it signified to everyone that the work was finished for the day and the Passover celebration was beginning. And on this occasion, before Jesus prayed, he made two announcements that are very important. Look back at verses 14 through 18. When the hour had come, Jesus reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer. For I say to you," announcement number one, "I shall never again eat it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves, for I say to you," announcement number two, "I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." And so in Christ's two announcements, there's a sense in which something's coming to an end, and there's a sense that something new is forthcoming. And then in these announcements, Jesus tells his disciples he will not partake of this meal again until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. You see, every time they celebrated the Passover meal, they were celebrating and remembering God's faithfulness to them by delivering them from their bondage to Pharaoh from Egypt, right? That's what the Passover meal was all about. But now, in this passage, something has changed. In this passage, something has switched. Now in verse 19, Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Instead of taking the Passover meal in remembrance of the Exodus, Jesus now tells them to observe it in remembrance of him. Point number one in your notes this morning. Jesus was establishing a new meal. He was establishing a new meal that would symbolize the new covenant between God and his people. We call it the Lord's Supper. So Jesus was establishing a new meal that would symbolize the new covenant that he would bring about by his death, showing that his sacrifice on the cross would be the final act of deliverance and salvation by God. The sacrifice of animals only pushed sin further down the road until the arrival of God's ultimate sacrificial lamb. Put another way, the cross would be God's final act of salvation for mankind. And now his people would celebrate their deliverance from the bondage of sin and the bondage of death. And every time God's people celebrate the Lord's Supper together, as we will today, every time the church celebrates the Lord's Supper together, they are remembering the ultimate sacrifice, the once for all sacrifice, the Bible says, of the true Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, who was slain for the sins of the world. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:10, "By this we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." And the Bible says in Hebrews 10 that Jesus takes away the first order and he establishes the second. So the Exodus from Egypt was to be remembered as the defining act of deliverance under the old covenant. But now we remember the greater sacrifice of the true Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 5:7, which ushered in the new covenant in his blood, verse 20, the new covenant of deliverance from sin and deliverance from Satan, which is received, you don't want to miss this, by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Now, let me just tell you this. The word grace means freely given, unmerited favor. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. Freely given, unmerited favor, love, and pardon from God. Pardon from sin. Okay? That's what the word grace means. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. God did something for you that you could never do for yourself. It's very important that you understand that, okay? And then in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, the Bible says, for by grace you've been saved. How you've been saved? By grace. By grace you have been saved through faith. Through your faith. That's how you believe in God, that's how you receive Christ. When you believe in the person and work of Jesus Christ, you believe that He is God in the flesh who came to this earth to die for you and I. And you believe in the work of Jesus Christ, that you believe that He took all of our sins upon Himself while He was on the cross. His blood washes us clean, as we'll see a little bit later on. And then through His resurrection, defeated death and Satan once and for all on behalf of you and I. So by grace you've been saved through your faith in Jesus Christ, and don't miss this, it is not of yourselves. You didn't do anything to add to it, you just received the free gift. Amen? By faith in Jesus Christ. It's not about your good deeds, so-called good deeds. And you can't add your good deeds to God's grace to get salvation. You get salvation by grace alone, by faith in Jesus Christ alone. It is not of yourselves, the Bible says. It is the gift of God. Not, here again, as a result of works. Not of anything you can do except believe it and receive it so that no one can boast. I love that last part. When we get to heaven, guess what? Nobody's going to be talking about how great they are anymore. Nobody's going to be talking about what a great athlete I was in high school. Nobody's going to be talking about how intelligent I was and how I got all these scholarships. Nobody's going to be talking about anything but Jesus. Amen? I love that part. And so it's a free gift. And again, when someone gives you a gift, you thank them for the gift, right? But you don't try to repay them for the gift. Because if you try to repay someone when they freely give you something, it's an insult to that person. You thank them, and you live the rest of your life being thankful, amen? But you do not try to repay. And then the Bible says this in Romans 11, 6, but if it's by grace, it's no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. You see what happens when you add your works to God's grace for salvation? The Bible says grace is no longer grace. Point number two. Number one, Jesus was establishing a new meal that symbolized the new covenant. We call it the Lord's Supper. Showing that His sacrifice on the cross would be the final act of deliverance and salvation by God. And number two, Jesus would become the final sacrificial Lamb of God. We don't have to spend the rest of our lives sacrificing animals, amen? He would become the final sacrificial Lamb of God and therefore would not partake of the meal again until He celebrated it with His church in the kingdom of God at His second coming. Look back at verses 16 through 18. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when He had taken the cup and given thanks, He said, take this, share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine from now on. He knew there was going to be a time between when He left them and His second coming. And I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. Now look at verses 19 and 20. And when He had taken some of the bread and given thanks, He broke it. He gave it to them, saying, this is My body which is forgiven, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of Me. And in the same way, he took the cup, and after they had eaten, he said to them, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." Not the blood of animal sacrifices, Jesus says. You see the switch? You see the change? In my blood. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:4, "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." Now, normally at this point, the head of the house would have presented the unleavened bread and referred to it as the bread of affliction. But this time, Jesus told his disciples, "This is my body, which is given for you. So do this in remembrance of me." Put another way, the bread would signify his body, which would be broken and sacrificed on the cross, verse 19. And this meal, the Lord's Supper, was to continue until he returns to establish his kingdom. In other words, as Christians, the word Christian means Christ follower. So as Christ followers, we are to share in this meal together, continually remembering Christ's sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And then Jesus presents the cup and gives what was traditionally referred to as the cup of blessing new significance. During this time in Israel's history, God would seal a covenant with the blood of a sacrifice. But on this occasion, Jesus says the wine symbolizes the new covenant in my blood that will be poured out for you on the cross, verse 20. And so Jesus was letting his disciples know that he was about to stand in as the final Passover lamb. And this time it would be his blood that would be poured out for the sins of the people. And the cup of wine symbolized his sacrifice of his own blood on the cross for you and I. Point number three. Number one, Jesus was establishing a new meal that symbolized the new covenant between God and his people. We call it the Lord's Supper, showing that his sacrifice on the cross will be the final act of deliverance and salvation. Number two, Jesus would become the final sacrificial lamb of God and therefore not partake of the meal again until he celebrates it with his church in the kingdom of God at his second coming. Number three, Jesus Christ takes away God's condemnation of anyone who is protected by his blood. Jesus takes away the condemnation of anyone who is protected by his blood. Put another way, the blood of the Lamb protects the true believer from God's judgment. The believer's sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb, the Bible says in Revelation, and their garments are as white as snow. Revelation 7:14. Now let me read one of my favorite verses to you, Isaiah 1:18. It's in your notes. I love this verse. "Come now," the Lord says, "let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though your sins are like as red as crimson, they shall become like wool." And the Bible says in Romans 8:1-3, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free." It set you free from the law of sin and death. And that law, what it could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, our sinful nature made it weak. God did. The law couldn't save us, so God did. And he did, the Bible says, by sending his own son in the likeness of man, the likeness of sinful flesh, as an offering for sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh. And then the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him, speaking of his son Jesus Christ, who knew no sin. Jesus never sinned. God made him to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him when we accept by grace and put our faith in Jesus Christ for our salvation. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, "And he himself, Jesus Christ, bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds, the Bible says, you've been healed. I love what one commentator said. He says, if you're a believer in Jesus, it doesn't matter what your feelings tell you. By the way, if you can just kind of get that in your mind, don't let your feelings drive who you are and what you do. Okay, that's a way to live a roller coaster life if I've ever heard of one. Put a lot of your feelings aside, and you'll make a lot less mistakes and be a lot more successful in life, okay? One commentator says this, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what your feelings tell you, God says you stand before him with zero condemnation, amen? And so just as the blood of the Lamb that was sacrificed offered protection from the plague of the firstborn during the Exodus, the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, offers protection from the wrath of God for sin for everyone who trusts in Christ and Christ alone for the forgiveness of their sins. Okay, let's prepare for the Lord's Supper. Men, if you'll begin passing out the bread and the juice that symbolizes the blood and the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to get you to hang in here with me real quick, because I'm going to get us to meditate on a few things while they're passing this stuff out, okay? Here it is. As they pass out the elements, take time right now to honor your Lord and remember this sacrifice, because listen to me, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, there's a very real danger of not honoring God while you're doing this. And it's very, very important that while we're participating in the Lord's Supper, we do it in a way that honors God. In fact, a lot of people come to me and say, Chris, is it okay if my child takes the Lord's Supper? If they're saved, then yes. If they're not, tell them no. That's how Jake and Ryan came to Jesus. By Andrea and I tell them, no, you're not ready. Thank you, sir. Because again, it is critically important that we get focused on what we're about to do, okay? So as they pass out the elements, remember his sacrifice on the cross for your sins. And whatever you need to do to make that, if you need to close your eyes, if you need to bow your head so you're not watching everybody moving around, whatever you need to do, get in your own inner room with Jesus right now and honor him by remembering the sacrifice that he made for you. During this moment, ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything that's keeping me from being fully committed to you? Before I participate in this supper, is there anything in my life, anything, any person, that's keeping me from being fully committed to you? The Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose hearts are completely his. Take a moment in the quietness of this time and ask the Holy Spirit to show you any sin pulling you away from God. Is there anything going on in my life? Is there any relationship I'm involved in that pulls me away from God? And this is your opportunity to get that right, to confess it, to agree with God about it, and repent, to turn away from it and turn back to God. Lord, is there any attitude in me that's keeping my heart from being completely yours? And if there is, make it right. Is there someone that I'm angry with, someone that I'm bitter towards? Is there someone I don't like to look at? I don't like to see them doing well, whatever. And agree with God that it's sin. Confess it. And then repent. Turn away from it, so your heart can turn back to Him. Lord Jesus, as we give thanks to You for the sacrifice of Your body and Your blood on the cross that takes away the sins of the world, may we honor You. May this time be a time of truly turning from the world, turning from our own self-centered ways, and turning back to You. Heavenly Father, we thank You for sending Your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to earth to become a man who would live without sin, yet take the sins of the world upon Himself at the cross. And Lord Jesus, we thank You for dying on the cross for us and becoming our personal, for becoming my personal sacrificial lamb that would forever wash me clean and make me white as snow. And we thank You that there is now no condemnation for those who believe in and belong to Jesus Christ. Today we honor You as we participate in the Lord's Supper and we look back at Your sacrifice. Today we honor You as we participate in the Lord's Supper and look inward at our own lives. And today we honor You and we thank You as we participate in the Lord's Supper and look forward to Your return when You yourself will prepare a meal for us. And we look forward to Your return when we will partake of this meal with You in Your kingdom. And we pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you'll get ready to partake of the meal, you pull this little thing off the top, and there's a little wafer in there. The Bible says in Luke 22:19, and when He had given some bread and given thanks, He broke it and He gave it to them, saying, "This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Now I think you peel back the next layer for the juice. The Bible says in verse 20, in the same way He took the cup, and after they had eaten, saying, "This cup is poured out for you. It is the new covenant in My blood. Do this in remembrance of Me." Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You for this precious time that we've had today. Maybe you're here today, and you're, or maybe you're watching online today, and you would like to believe God's truth about your sin and how it separates you from Him. And maybe today God has shown you your need to be saved. Again, God Himself came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ to live a perfect life and die in your place for the payment of your sins. And so maybe today you'd like to quit trying to earn your way to heaven and just accept God's free gift of grace, His free gift of eternal life by grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If so, you might want to say a prayer somewhat like this, and it's very important that you understand these are not magic words. The only thing that matters is that you mean it in your heart. Lord Jesus, I realize that You are God in the flesh, the Son of God, and the Savior of the world. And today I want to trust in you, and I want to trust in your sacrifice on the cross and your resurrection from the dead for my salvation. And I confess to you that I'm a sinner, and I'm in deep need of your mercy and your forgiveness. So today I'm asking for your mercy and forgiveness. I'm asking for your power to turn from my sins, and I'm asking for your grace to submit to your authority. Forgive me for playing God. Forgive me for being my own self-authority in life and trying to run my own life. Forgive me for rejecting you all this time. And forgive me for buying into Satan's lie that I'm missing out if I don't follow the ways of this world. I'm ready for the abundant life that only you can provide, that only my good shepherd can give. And I'm ready for you to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. And I'm ready to start living for you and allowing your word to live in me, to make its home in me. Thank you for loving me enough to die for me, save me from my sins, and make me a child of God. Matt, would you lead us in our closing song, please, sir?
He became sin, who knew no sin.